I want you to turn with me this morning. These are the words that I've chosen to read this morning from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Who can separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So let me tell you a story this morning. Once upon a time, imagine this now. Once upon a time, there was a river. It was a wide river with many docks and wharfs along its shore. It provided income for many of the sports fishing and recreation opportunities. It provided leisure for many with its beautiful sunrises and pure waters. It was a beautiful river, but it was not perfect. At times, sewage from the many homes and cottages along the shore would cause an unpleasant odor to rise up from its beaches. Unregulated industrial waste from companies and businesses that should have known better flowed unchecked into this river. Years of dumping garbage by people who never thought anything about their actions and never thought that it would hurt anyone. It created a murky brown color in places along the river. And this river felt it. It cried out to its creator, why have I become like this? Why has pollution from many streams flooded into my waters? Why have you allowed so much waste into me? But there was no answer. Day after day, the streams of pollution flowed into the river, and though it failed to corrupt the river completely, at times it was almost unbearable. But what the river did not know was that down the stream a plan was being formulated. Some engineers were looking at the river and were considering a new power source. If they placed turbines in large dams and regulated the flow, they would be able to supply much needed electricity. The river would provide many people with the much needed power that they required. And when the dam was built and when it was put into action, it wouldn't matter so much that the river had pollution. It wouldn't matter that the polluted streams flowed down from the hills. In the end, the entire course of the river would be used for a greater purpose. Do you see what I'm getting at? It would all work together for good. It would all work together for good. And I think in a sense that that is what God has planned for us. We don't understand the things that happen sometimes in life. We cannot grasp a lot of things that hurt and cause us pain. But I think about that river. The river didn't know and cried out, but God knew. And today's passage of Scripture is a commonly quoted one. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Other translations say, we know that God uses all people to bring about his will on this earth. And we know from the King James Version, we know that all things work together for good. All things work together for good. It's a truth. That's a truth that we cling to. It's an anchor for our soul. It's an anchor in the storms of life. Because you see, we need to know that trials and tribulations are not useless, but have some purpose in our lives. Amen? We can suffer any kind of how as long as we know there's a why. And in essence, this verse can be described this way. We can be confident that no matter what happens in life, good or bad, God will bring it all together to achieve his purpose. Now, that might be relatively easy for us to understand, but it causes us to question if, as verse 28 says, that we have been called according to his purpose, then what is God's purpose? What is God's purpose? What is he trying to accomplish in this? What's he trying to bring about through sickness that we can't understand? As someone once said to me, I've been asking God for the same thing all my life, and he's never granted it to me. And to my friend and to each of us, I would say, we need to get on board with God's agenda. The life that we live is not ours. We don't get to decide to do only what we want to do. We have been given a purpose. And that purpose, listen to me, that purpose, as long as we are here, is to become more and more like Jesus Christ. To conform to the image of Christ. To look more and more like Jesus. To act as Jesus acted. To love as Jesus loved. And to make a difference as Jesus made a difference in this world. Or as Pastor Lush said, this is the time when I need to start practicing what I've been preaching. After all, if we don't believe what we're preaching, if it's only for you as our parishioners or congregation, if we only seek to encourage you in sickness, but we think that we're immune from it, it doesn't work that way. We are here to glorify God in all things. I believe in the healing power of God. I have prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed and I still believe it in my heart. I know God has a purpose in what's happening to this congregation. And I know his will be accomplished. I know because God says he will do it. And as believers, that's our purpose, that we are to stand firm, and become more like Jesus through everything that happens in our lives. And then as I thought about this verse, I thought, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And that can be summed up easy for us maybe, but you know something? It doesn't make it easy for us to bear. And I know some people can bear up better than others. Other people just can't. My husband says, I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I'm an emotional person, and you know how I'm feeling. But other people express it differently, like Brother Murphy, and there's nothing wrong with that. But God's purpose for us sometimes, it hurts, doesn't it? Let's be honest. It hurts. Do you remember the first time you prayed for something and you didn't get it? Do you remember the first time you felt disappointed with God? Do you remember the first time you were convinced that God would do a certain thing and then God went and did something else? How dare God do that? This is what I wanted. Do you remember the loss and the emptiness as if some big guy came up and punched you in the middle of the stomach and that hurt that you felt? I think we've all felt like that sometimes. And I've come to believe that disappointment with God, expecting one thing myself and getting another, is part of God's purpose for me to trust him more. Learning to trust in who God really is instead of trusting in what I want him to be. And until we learn to accept God's purposes for our lives, even when it hurts, we will never really learn to trust him. We will never get past this misleading image of him. And we need to understand that sometimes our pain is part of God's purpose for us too. After all things didn't work together for good in the life of Jesus. We've just come through the Easter season. And when we look back and we realize what our Lord went through, we see that he was betrayed by a close friend. And I know that Satan had entered into Judas, but there must have been something that led Judas to the point where he gave his friend into the hands of Jewish leaders. And speaking of those Jewish leaders, they were jealous of Jesus' popularity, and they felt that they wanted to get rid of the competition. And then there was Pilate. Pilate, who could find no reason to hand Jesus over to his executioners other than wanting to please his superiors and to please the crowd. And then, of course, there was the crowd, you know, that fickle crowd from praise to punishment within 5 days. And what one voice they asked for Jesus' death. And even his own disciples turned their back and ran. And we consider all those factors that led up to Jesus' death. But the truth be told, it was never in the hands of Judas, and it was never in the hands of the Jewish leaders, and it was never in the hands of Pilate, and it was never in the hands of the crowd, nor even in the hands of the disciples. It was always God's plan. It was always God's plan from the beginning. Look what Jesus said about his arrest. He told Peter, put away that sword, Peter. And then he said, shall I not drink of the cup my Father has given me? And at the same time, Jesus also said, Scripture must be fulfilled. And soon after that, in the sixth and the last trial of the morning, Pilate threatened Jesus to speak because of the power that Pilate held over him. And you know what Jesus said? You would have no power, Pilate, unless it were given to you from above. You see, Jesus' death, perhaps the greatest travesty of all times, was never out of the hands of God. God was in complete control of the whole thing. And God is in complete control of your life and my life. God was in control. It was used for the redemption of mankind, for the glory of God. And what's more, you know, the death of Jesus was not even an afterthought. You know, it was part of God's plan right from the very beginning. Right from the very beginning. Revelation tells us that the Lamb, Jesus, was slain from the creation of the world. You see, the plan for Jesus to die for the sins of mankind was God's plan right from the start. The wisdom of God knows what is best, and the power of God can make it happen, and the love of God will cause it to happen. And that's good news for us this morning. That's good news for us because we don't know what God's plan for the future is concerning your pastor and our friend. But we know that God is God, and God can do great things. And there is nothing that God cannot do. Doctors may give us a diagnosis that might sound not so good. But I have seen God work in times when there was no hope at all. And I believe in the healing power of God. And God, I believe that God wants his people to come together in a time of prayer, believing him to never give up. Because God's plan and God's purpose for us can never be upset. If God is love, which is simply the definition of what a Christian should be, that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind, then God will have the final say. He can use our pain and our problems, anything that we face, to draw us closer to God. And he can use this situation, and I believe he will, to draw this church even closer to the Lord than you have ever been before. He can even use bad things to make us more like Jesus. I talked to you a little while ago about the river, and what the river didn't know was that it would be the source of providing much power for the people. It would all work together for good. And if you look at verse 37 of this chapter that I read to you, well, first of all, verse 35, who can separate us from the love of God? What can we say to all these things? It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? What can we say of these things? What can we say? And I thought there's that old hymn by Helen Bayer that says, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, tell me where would I be? And the story is told of a young girl named Hanny Bonnet. And she said, when I was a young girl, I was abused by a family that took me in as an orphan. And she said, I just didn't know where to turn, but I heard that hymn. And I had a whole rusty cassette player. Remember those? And she said, I got a copy of that cassette, and I would play it over and over and over again.
if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be?
Are you on the Lord's side today? Are you on the Lord's side? Then you're on the winning side, because listen to what Scripture says. Who can separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? In all these things we are more than conquerors through him. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels or principalities, powers nor things present or things to come. That's anything. Future, past, present, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The plan for us, that through it all, God's desire is that we're going to be drawn closer to him, to look more like Jesus, to see what he can do in our lives. None of these things are beyond God's capability. Trust him with the streams of pollution in God's capable hands. As the song says, I don't need to understand. I just need to hold his hand. I just need to trust him. I don't ever have to ask a reason why. For I know he'll make the way through the night and through the day. I don't need to understand. I just need to hold his hand.